do something a little different this time as far as our scripture reading. I choose these portions of scriptures. We meet around the Lord's table. I try to go in a little bit of an order. This way, the Lord's made my mind. Read the story of Matthew and Mark and Luke. But when we get to John, it really is not a specific part where the Lord directed John to describe that last supper that Lord partook with his disciples before he went to the cross. I know a lot of people will relate to what is written earlier on with the washing of the disciples' feet, but that was earlier on in the week. And yet, in John, we do have the Lord's Prayer for his disciples. This is what I consider to be the true Lord's Prayer. But he taught his disciples. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord taught his disciples to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." But here's the Lord's Prayer. This is what our Lord was praying to the Father before he went to the cross. And I want to read this because as we partake of the Lord's table here, we're partaking of what he came and accomplished in his life and in his death. That's what we're here to remember. It's not just a ceremony that we're going through. But this unleavened bread represents his body. And then this cup represents his blood shed. Both are necessary. It took Christ coming in a body. And this bread that we hold in our hand is unleavened bread, which means without sin. It's not your normal bread that you go and buy in the marketplace. Christ was not a common man. He was unlike any other. It can't be said of any man that they were without sin. He's the only one without sin. And so, as he gave this bread to his disciples on that final eve of the Passover, it was that they might be reminded, first of all, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." But it also has marks of fire on it, flame. It's a reminder that the reason a body was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, made for him, was that he might die and suffer under God's wrath and justice to save such people as we are. Even that overwhelms me, to think that here we hold an element that he has given us. But it wasn't just enough that he come as a perfect man, but he had to shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's where God, in one time, in one place, in one sacrifice, justified, declared righteous his people once for all. People that try to put it at faith or somewhere else, they still have not seen the glory of Christ's finished work accomplished there at Calvary. But what I want us to do is just simply, I want to read for you a few of these verses from John 17, because this was the prayer that he prayed in the garden as he went to the cross, having already celebrated the Lord's table, the Lord's supper with them. It says these words, John 17, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come." We talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that specific hour that was determined from before time, now had come. We don't find Christ in any way halting from what he was about to endure, but rather he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem, it says. And here he speaks of that hour as glorifying the Father. He says, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." As a man, he was completely dependent upon the Father to carry him all the way through, because this was for the Father's glory. As he said, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Christ didn't die because people overpowered him. Now, when they came to arrest him a little later here in the garden, they came with swords and staffs, weapons, torches to arrest him. The Lord, it says there in chapter 18, verse 4, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Went as a lamb to the slaughter, who before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He had power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I love that word, eternal life, because I'm just seeing life is in the Savior, the Redeemer, in his finished work. And that's really what we're celebrating. In his death, we celebrate his life. And he says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. The word and there can be translated even Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. These elements that we hold in our hand represent the only picture that the Lord has left us to remember him. His body and his blood. But it's all because of having been sent. That in him is life eternal. See, that's what it is, verse 3. And this is life eternal. It's the person of Christ. So for the Lord's, we're celebrating, yes, his death, his body prepared, his blood shed, but we're celebrating his life. And the life that he has been pleased to give now to those for whom he died. He says, I have glorified thee, verse 4, on the earth, speaking of his physical, earthly journey. Some are surprised here when he says, even before dying, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. A little later, he'll cry from the cross, it is finished. So you say, well, which is it? Well, there was a work he came to do that was in earning and establishing the righteousness. It was necessary that he be without blame. And that's how he's addressing himself to the Father. That work of being the blameless lamb, without sin in every trial, tempted in all things, yet without sin. That was the work he came to do. He says, I've finished it. What he's doing is commending himself to the Father. To the Father's inspection. That lamb had to be inspected. Not just by men. Even his enemies said, we find no fault in him. But more so, God himself. This was his lamb. That's why he's able to say, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me. And now, in light of the cross, it wasn't enough that he just lived this perfect life. He had to lay down his life. He had to shed his blood. The wages of sin is death. But he says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's talking about Christ's eternality. Yes, he came as a man, but he was before time. That's why he's the eternal God, and salvation is in him. Let's thank the Lord for the bread, cup, and then partake. Gracious Father, so much take for granted that in this moment that you've given us to remember your Son, his death, that as we partake, it would be out of thankfulness, praise to your name for all that you've accomplished, sinners such as we are in him. He alone is worthy. And so we give you the thanks and praise in his precious name. Amen.